I tell you, that David keeps selecting songs right before my sermon that I don't want to stop. I'd much rather just keep on singing than to be able to stop and preach. And I know you'd much rather sing than listen to me, wouldn't you? What a day that will be. What a day of rejoicing it will be. We all get to heaven. I know in some of the song books they have rewritten that and say when the saved get to heaven. Well, I understand what they're saying, but when I sing it, it always makes me feel like I'm going to be left out. That's, you know, when the saved get to heaven, I want to sing I want to be in that group when we get to heaven. So it's good to have, it's wonderful to have that hope, isn't it? What would we do without the hope of going to be with the Lord throughout all eternity? What is there in this life that's enjoyable, that we can look forward to, if we do not have that hope of eternity with the Lord? One day we all must stand before Him in judgment. If we do not have the hope of the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ and the hope of eternity with Him, then there's not much to look forward to. Truly, it's good to see each and every one here today. Those that are visiting with us, we're thankful for your presence. We're going to read this morning as a basis for our study from Matthew chapter 15, and then again from Mark chapter 7. But turn to Matthew chapter 15 first, and let's read that passage together. And then we're going to read a comparable passage, the same words recorded by Mark, because there's just a little bit of difference in them. Matthew 15, beginning in verse number 10, says that he called the multitude and said to them, "Hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, 'Do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?' But he answered and said, 'Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into the ditch.' Then Peter answered and said to him, 'Explain this parable to us.' So Jesus said, 'Are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man.'" And then bear with me and let's read from Mark chapter 7 also. Excuse me. Mark's recording of these same words of Jesus. When he had called, Mark 7 verse 14, "When he had called all the multitude unto him, he said to them, 'Hear ye everyone and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from without which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when it entered into the house away from the crowd, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, 'Are you thus without understanding? Do you not yet perceive that whatever enters a man from without cannot defile him? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach, and it is eliminated, thus purifying all foods.' And he said, 'What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man.'" Would you bow with me in prayer? Loving Father, we're so thankful for the words of Jesus, so thankful for the gift that you gave in giving him not just to die upon the cross, Father, but to teach us and instruct us that we might know how to live, we might understand thy truth. Bless us as we study these words this day. Forgive us of our sins. Be with us, Father. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. The scribes and the Pharisees exalted their traditions ahead of the law of God. If you look in Mark 7, verse number 13, he told them that they made the word of God of none effect through their traditions. One of those traditions had to do with the washing of hands before they eat. They murmured because the disciples ate with unwashed hands. First part of Matthew 15, 1 and 2. The Pharisees asked the question, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders and eat with unwashed hands? And so they were condemned here because they were condemning Jesus, that is, because that his disciples eat with unwashed hands. They thought one was defiled to eat with unwashed hands. But Jesus gave a principle here of where sin originates, or what causes one to be defiled, we could say. What causes one to be evil? What causes one to be corrupt? And it is not to do with the flesh. Sin does not lie in the matter of food or in other physical matter. And it's not the corruption of the body that one should be concerned about, but it is the corruption of one's mind and spirit. It is not physical dirt that should so concern us, but it is that which can defile us spiritually, of the mind. Sin is described as the transgression of God's law. 1 John 3 and verse number 4. Whosoever sins transgresses also the law. It is the breaking of God's law. It is being unfaithful to God, in other words. It is a failure to be loyal to Him. It is to become defiled then whenever we sin, when we break God's law. When we fail because there is within our hearts and minds that which leads us to do that which is contrary and unfaithful to God. This is what defiles us. Sin lies within the heart. You noticed here in our text in verse number 21 and 22, Jesus taught that from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts and adulteries and fornications and so forth. And all of these, he says, come from within. And they are what defiles a person. It is sin. Not the physical touch that makes one impure before God. Ecclesiastes 9, verse number 3 says, the hearts of the sons of men are full of evil. Jesus is likewise saying that it comes forth from the heart. It's that which is in the heart that defiles us. What comes out of a man is what defiles him. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Sin then originates in the heart. Our actions originate in our thoughts. As we think in our heart, or as a man thinks in his heart, Proverbs 23 verse number 7 says, as one thinks in his heart, so is he. Very valid principle is being laid down here. That the beginning, the begetting, the starting of evil actions is with thoughts that are not right, the evil that is in one's heart. And so all these things, Jesus says, comes from within. Murders, fornications, thefts, covetousness, lasciviousness, jealousy, envy. All of these things, he says, comes from the heart, and they're what defiles a man. Proverbs 4 and verse number 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The real issues of life The important things of life, how we live, what we say, what we do, are determined by what's in a man's heart. So our concern needs to be with what's in our heart, not what's in our stomach. You know, we're looking forward to a very fine meal here in just a little bit, and those of you who do not come and to be with us are going to miss out. So we hope that you'll come. If you have to go, if you feel you can't come without bringing something, you have to go by and get some Kentucky Fried Chicken or something else. You know, we eat that too. Yeah, if any of you ever brought that out there, you know, it's eaten. But come and be with us. But you know, it's not the food that's the important thing. That only takes care of this physical man for a short time. It is the spirit, the spiritual man, that which we put into the mind and into the heart is the thing that is really important and that determines the character, determines the words of a person. Our speech is governed by our thoughts. Matthew 12 and verse number 34, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And he says, a good man out of the abundance of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the abundance of his heart brings forth evil things. How important then are the thoughts that we think in our hearts? Our speech comes from the heart. Our speech betrays the character that we have. Jesus has a long list of evil things here that spring from the heart. You know, some of us might think, well, boy, I'd never commit murder, or I'd never commit fornication or thefts or covetousness or so forth, a long list there. But if those things, the seeds of those things are planted within our heart, we never know what actions it's going to lead us to. It is the heart. And Jesus even spoke about the importance of the heart in Matthew 5, verse 27 and 28, when he said, you've heard that it is said, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I says, whosoever looketh upon a woman commits adultery with her already in his heart. So sin begins in the heart. That principle would be true not only in reference to immorality and sexual lust, but in regards to all other things, it begins with the heart. Psalms 119 and verse 113 says, I hate vain thoughts. Now that's the King James. The New King James says, I hate the double-minded, but I love thy law. The mind is what controls us. And to do right, then, what does this tell us? If I want my speech to be right, if I want my actions to be correct in the sight of God, then that tells us that the heart needs to be right. I need to think right in order to do right. Jesus laid down a very valid principle there in Proverbs 23 and 7 when he says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Our thoughts determine our life. They determine our lifestyle, the issues of life. What we say and what we do. Marcus Aurelius Antoninus wrote nearly 1,000 years after Jesus taught these things that we're reading from today. He wrote, our life is what our thoughts make it. That wasn't original with him. That's what Jesus taught. That's what God had taught us back there in that proverb. You know, we live in a world today in which there are a lot of people who suffer from emotional illnesses, mental illnesses, and so forth. People filled with anxiety, frustration, animosity. The vast majority of these emotional and mental illnesses and the stress and anxiety and hostility which many people feel today is brought on by incorrect thought patterns. People do not know how to think. Why do we go to the psychiatrist? Why do we need the psychologist? Why do we talk to counselors? It's a matter of getting our thoughts straightened out. To do right, one must think right. Our thoughts determine who we are and how we live. If you go to a psychiatrist and you or to a counselor of any kind, usually they're going to be digging into the mind of the patient in order to find out the roots of their faulty thought patterns. Their patterns of thought are not correct, not what they ought to be. And sometimes there are children who suffer with feelings of inferiority, with feelings of inadequacies, or maybe feelings of rejection, feel that people reject them and do not like them. And many times it is sometimes brought on by parents who have been overcritical and causing child to think that he is bad, that he's not likable, or that he's inferior in some way. Sometimes society and our peers heap upon us criticism and find fault, and we begin to develop faulty thought patterns. As we think in our hearts, so are we. How we think, that's what determines the type of person that we are. There are some people who feed on thoughts of fear, of uncertainty, of anxiety. And they find themselves being anxious and worried and concerned about things, when if they would feed on God's word and the assurance that it gives, the love and the faith and the security that God's word gives to us, then their lives would be completely changed. They wouldn't find themselves in anxiety and concern and fear and sometimes even hostility. It is what's in our heart that defiles us, that determines our life, our actions, our words. So in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2, the Apostle Paul says, set your mind on things above, not on things of this world. Our minds need to be centered on things above. And Paul writes in regards to what we should think about in Philippians 4 and verse number 8, when he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I'm sure that you've all experienced a situation where that maybe someone would say to a person, says, you feel all right today? And the person says, well, yeah, it's all right. That person walks along and meets somebody else and says, my, you sure look peaked today. Are you feeling all right? And about after the time you meet the third person and ask if you're all right today, or are you saying something about you don't look good, or you don't, you know, you begin to think, well, no, I don't feel too good, you know. And you the thought, the seeds planted, and can affect, well, how those thoughts can then begin to affect your physical reactions. So we need to set our mind on things above. We need to think thoughts of God, not the thoughts that will lead us into evil, to fear, to anxiety, and to unbelief. The things that are true and honest and just and lovely and pure and of good report. These are the things, Paul says, that we are to think upon. There are a lot of things from God's word that we need to center our minds upon. We need to think, for example, about God. We need to be thinking about God and His nature. We need to have within our hearts and the minds the desire to know Him better. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 9 says, eye hath not heard, nor ear, or eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, the thing that God has prepared for those that love Him. But Paul is writing there, says he has revealed those things unto us by the Spirit. So as we look into this word here, we see all the wonderful things that God has prepared for us. And all the promises and the assurance and the hope that is given unto us, the love that is given unto us. Our world is dying for a lack of love. And yet God's love is revealed here from cover to cover. People are living lives of insecurity because they do not have the love of God within their lives. They're estranged, separated, apart from God. And they need to be thinking the thoughts of God. we need to think about the gospel. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We need to think about heaven and going to heaven. Quite often I think about the words of Jesus when he, in John chapter 14, spoke about going to heaven, but he says, if I go, I'll come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. One of the most comforting thoughts that I know in all of God's word to me is that thought that Jesus wants me to be with him. And I think about all my failings and shortcomings and the fears that are within this body of flesh. And yet I recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ wants me to be with him throughout all eternity. That gives great assurance and comfort and hope. That's the correct thought pattern. Those are the things we need to think about. Think about being with Jesus and how he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And there's going to be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. For the former things are all passed away. Revelation 21 and verse 4. Those are the thoughts that we need to think upon. Set your mind on things above, Paul says. Not on things of this earth. If all our minds are centered upon is sickness or death or how we're going to pay the bills or our failings or our shortcomings and all the fears and anxieties of the world in which we live, if that's all we think about, it's no wonder that we have no hope. It's no wonder we have no happiness and there's no peace of mind. Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's what we want kept. And the very next verse is the one he says, where he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, lovely, pure, of good report, think on these things. Go to your Heavenly Father in prayer. Turn all over to him. Trust in him. And then you think about all these good things. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your heart's mind in Christ Jesus. We should think about the salvation of other souls. Spiritual things is what our mind should be centered upon. How can we lead so and so to Christ? What can I do to be a better example before this person? How can I have contact with this person to lead them to Christ? In 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 16, Paul said to Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine or thy teaching, for in continuing therein you shall both save yourself and those that hear thee. That's what we should be thinking about. James 1 and verse number 27 gives us something to think about. Pure and undefiled religion before God is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows and their affliction, keep oneself unspotted from the world. We should think about relieving those that are oppressed, the widows, the orphans, thinking about those that are in need. Not just our own selfish needs all the time. If all I think about is what I need or how some comfort can be brought to me, you know, thinking about your own needs can make yourself one of the most miserable people in all the world. It's when we think about the needs of others and center upon the needs of others that our lives can be changed, transformed, and happiness can come into our lives. We need to think about those things. We need to think about relieving those people who are afflicted. Many heavenly, wonderful things we need to think about. But the same way, there are some things we need to try to avoid that we do not think about. And if an impure thought happens to pass into our minds, you know, we need to release that thing and send it on its way just as soon as it enters into our mind. Get our minds thinking about something else immediately so that it doesn't remain there. Someone asked one of our early gospel preachers if it was a sin to have an evil thought. He said, no, it's not a sin to have an evil thought. But if you keep that thought within your mind and let it and feed it and let it grow, then it becomes evil, can lead you to sin. He says, it's like birds flying overhead. You can't stop the birds from flying overhead. Something's liable to drop on you sometime from a bird. You know, you can't stop that. You can't prevent it, but you don't have to let it remain there, you know. You can keep them from making a nest in your hair, lighting upon your head. And so it is when evil thoughts come our way. We mustn't entertain them. We mustn't invite them in and let them remain. Sometimes the people we associate can plant evil thoughts into our minds. And we need to avoid the evil companions that corrupt our morals. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33. Anything which stimulates thoughts of selfishness, of riches for ourselves, or for pleasures for ourselves, or selfishness of envy, of sexual lust, anything that stimulates those type of thoughts should be avoided. For those very reasons, I can't encourage people to engage in dancing, because some of the movements that take place there can stimulate lustful thoughts. Bodies being held together and that closeness there can stimulate lustful thoughts. Now, if you want to dance with your wife or your husband, I'm not talking about that, you know, okay? That's a different thing. Or even mixed swimming. People spending, especially young girls and boys, spending time together there can have evil thoughts stimulated by the sight of the other's body. Some people say, well, you know, they shouldn't be thinking those thoughts. Yes, they shouldn't. But the person, you can contribute to a person thinking that type of thought. I'm reminded of King David. You remember how he was led into sin with Bathsheba? He ended up having her husband put to death. And you know what started it all? One evening he didn't have anything to do. He was walking up on the roof of his house, the flat roofs of those houses. And there he saw this beautiful woman bathing. The sight of this naked body. And the record says in 2 Samuel chapter 11, she was very beautiful to behold. And unholy thoughts were planted in his mind. He sent for her. Brought her to his house and lay with her. It all started through the sight of his eyes, seeing a body. And so we need to take precautions in regards to those things that would stimulate such evil thoughts. Finally ended up putting her husband to death, and she became his wife. All kinds of corrupt conversations can lead to impure thoughts. I just talked to someone this past week who mentioned or talking about some other people that they didn't believe in watching TV. I said, I can understand that, because most things on TV should not be watched for this very reason. What do you see on TV? Violence? Killing? Murder? You see people striving after riches to make themselves rich, to try to gain power. You see sexual sins, infidelity in marriage, and fornication of all kinds. Those are the things that are on there. The seeing of those things stimulate unholy thoughts. And there's very little on there that we should be watching. Psalms 1 and verse number 1. Not just verse 1, but about the first four verses there really apply to what we're talking about. I guess you've probably heard me quote this passage 100 times, but it's one we all need to commit to memory. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the path of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in it doth he meditate. That means to think about it. It's in his mind. And in it doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. But the wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. How we need to think upon God, spiritual things, and His Word. That as you think in your heart, so you will be. If you want to become a thief, you think about stealing. If you want to become like God, you think about God and spiritual things. If you want to remain here upon this earth and all of the things that go with that, then think about earthly things. And your eternal destiny will be corruption. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he reap, Paul says in Galatians chapter 6. A primary student was asked to go to the blackboard and to draw a circle. The teacher was amazed because it was nearly a perfect circle that this primary student placed upon the board. And you know, I've done that myself, you know, not a perfect circle, but tried to draw a circle. Have you ever tried to do that? And as I begin to draw that circle, you know, I begin to, my thoughts begin to enter into my head, you know. Have you ever tried to do that? You know, well, boy, I can't get this exactly right, you know, but I don't expect it to be perfectly right. And as soon as you begin to think about getting away or off of the perfectness of the circle, sure enough, you do. But this child drew nearly a perfect circle. The teacher said, "How did you do that?" And she says, "Well, I just in my mind saw a perfect circle, and I thought the circle, you know, and then I just marked around the think," she said. THINK. She thought what she wanted. She drew right around the think. And that's what we need to do. We need to have within our minds what we want to be, what God would have us to be, His will. We need to think upon His will, things that are spiritual and pure, because that's the only way we can be as God would have us to be. Are you what God would have you to be this day? Is there evil within your heart? Perhaps you need to repent of it. Perhaps you need to confess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that God has gave Him to die for your sins, won't you respond to the invitation this morning? Come in repentance and be baptized into Christ. Or if as a Christian you've let your mind become filled with things that should not be there, will you not seek the Lord's forgiveness this day? Your subject invitation. Will you not come while we stand, while we sing?